Now, I want you to get your Bible out tonight, and I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16. We started 18 lessons ago, this is lesson number 19, talking about the subject of helping people. Really and honestly, that's what the church and that's what a ministry is all about. God is all about helping people, and we ought to be all about helping people as well. Tonight, the sermon title is this: Helping People by Being Thoughtful. By being thoughtful. I know that sounds simple, but in a moment I'm going to talk to you a little bit more in a little more depth about that term and the thought of this thing of being thoughtful. Romans chapter 16, if you found it, would you stand with me, please? We're going to look at just a few verses here. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Romans chapter 16, look at verse number 3. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Now go down to verse 5. It says, "Likewise greet the church that is in their house." Then go to verse 7. "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles." Look at verse 13. "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Look at verse 23. "Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you." And now look back at me. Let me tell you something, then we'll get into this. The Apostle Paul was the busiest preacher on the face of the earth at the time that stuff right there was being written. But you know what Paul was doing? Paul was thinking about people. He was thinking about people, a variety of people. He was very, very busy. But Paul had not lost track of the most important thing. I've been saying this for years, and I believe it. Maybe what I'd call my root philosophy of the ministry. There are two things that are big to me in life: my relationship with God and my relationship with people. And everything else doesn't even get in second or third place. It's way on down the list. Your relationship with God and your relationship with people will make you or break you in this life. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, bless the lesson tonight. It's so simple. It's almost embarrassingly simple. But Father, thank you for making it simple. Thank you for making this thing of Christianity doable, reachable, obtainable by those of us that are just simple-minded people. Bless the lesson tonight. May we be better because of it. But most of all, Lord, might you be glorified. And Lord, I hope that you can love people through us and help people through us because we learn this thing of being thoughtful. Holy Spirit of God, take a simple truth, magnify it in importance in our sinful, simple minds. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit down there if you will. Let me talk to you for a little while. The sermon tonight is number 19. It's called Helping People by Being Thoughtful. Thoughtful. What is that? When someone talks about someone being, they practice thoughtfulness, well, just listen to the word, thoughtful. When we are thankful, that means we are full of thanks. Thoughtful means we are full of thought about something. You could be full of thought about something bad. Here, it is talking about being thoughtful in regard to people and having a proper attitude toward the people around you. Every once in a while, it would be a good idea for each of us to slow down and to collect proper thoughts about the people around us. And I said proper thoughts. I'm talking about good thoughts. I'm talking about positive thoughts. I'm talking about thoughts about their good qualities. You know what I want to do? I want to fill my mind with good thoughts about you. And you know something? I've been through thick and thin with people in this room. But I don't spend my time thinking bad thoughts about them. I fill my mind with good thoughts about people. I am very quick to defend people with good thought. It's not hard to do, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm not, you know, if you want to, you could figure out some bad things about me. You already know some bad things about me. But I tell you what, if you think about those bad things and think about those bad things and think about those bad things, you filled your heart with those bad things. Those are the things you're going to think about. So you know what you need to do? If you don't want to think about the bad part of somebody or something, don't think about the bad part. Think about the good part, and then think about another good part, and then think about another good part, then think about another good part. And you know, I happen to believe we're all sinners. But I also know there's a goodness about us, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Not because of any book that we've written, but because of one that He has written, that He has given to us. I want to fill my mind with thoughts that are prosperous about you. The problem is we dabble in our thinking, and then we dabble in the wrong part of our thinking. Listen, I think that if we want to help people, we need to be thoughtful in a positive way about those people. That means filling our minds full of good thoughts about people. And notice the word thoughtful, not half full, not thought empty, but thoughtful. Let's fill our minds with good things about people. Now, I don't know if you all would agree with this. Some of you wouldn't even know to agree with it, but I think that city life can tend to make people a little impersonal. You become unthoughtful with the hustle and bustle of everything. The city is moving so fast, and it is so industrious, if you will. You might think that, well, New Bern, it's not a real big town. It's not a real big city. To me, it's a metropolis. The city I came from before here, there were 18,000 people. There's somewhere a little over 30,000 people in New Bern. But where I grew up, there were 3,000. If you blinked going through town, you missed her. We had 2 stoplights. Later, we got 3. But, you know, In the town where I grew up, you waved at everybody. Now, you know, you got to be careful. You wave now, people think you're setting them up to mug them or something, you know. Who are you waving at me for? You don't know me. Do you know where I grew up, and it was a country town? Matter of fact, we lived a block away. I mean, I lived right on the outskirts of that metropolis of 3,000 people. And right two yards away from me was the stockyards. If the wind was blowing the wrong direction, we were familiar with the cattle and hogs that were in the stockyard in such a way that was not good. But I have to tell you this. In that little town, I don't remember, we didn't lock our car doors. You went to the grocery store. Now, I lived in Indiana for a while. There they have this white stuff that falls from the sky. It's snow. It's cold. And someday you'll get to see it on the news. But this thing called snow, when it would snow when I was growing up, we would drive to Marsh Supermarket. We would park our car in the parking lot at the grocery store, leave it running to keep it warm, go in grocery shop, come out, your car would still be there. Today, it's almost like you can lock your car, you can put the club on your car, you can chain a Doberman pincher to your car, you can put a bodyguard with a machine gun by your car, and you'll come out of the grocery store and everything will be stolen, including the bodyguard. They'll all be gone. Folks, the world may choose to be rude, and they may be rude to one another. But let's let the Christians not be that way. You say, but that's just the world we live in. Yeah, but we're not supposed to be like this world. And just remember this, world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We are to be different. We're to be a peculiar people. We need to be thoughtful of one another. The Apostle Paul was thoughtful. Like I told you, I think Paul was the busiest man on the face of the earth. Jesus had passed. Spiritually, Paul was the busiest man on the face of the earth when Paul was alive. God had used him, I think, to pen 13 books of the New Testament. But if you look at what I just read to you, and in a moment, all the scripture I'm about to share with you comes from the Apostle Paul. Paul was a busy man, but he wasn't too busy for people. Folks, we need to be thoughtful of people. His writings contain some very urgent matters. I mean, folks, we get from the Apostle Paul's writings the prominent doctrines of the New Testament. He gave them to us. But tucked in with all that doctrine and everything, you see Paul going around greeting people, helping people, reaching out, touching people. Paul was thoughtful. And I think you and I ought to learn to be thoughtful. Now, I just got to looking at how Paul greeted people and how Paul just happened to notice people and took a moment to think about them. And I wish that we would learn that. I think if we want to help people, we need to be thoughtful of people. First of all, Paul was thoughtful concerning his helpers. In Romans chapter 16, verse 3, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers." Paul is writing the book of Romans. You understand how much doctrine and power is in the book of Romans? I mean, separation and teaching and Holy Spirit. But you know, he said, "Hey, by the way, tell Aquila and Priscilla, the people that helped me, I said howdy." I think that's important. Don't miss the personableness of the Apostle Paul. All of us should be thoughtful of people who help us. I think we ought to be thoughtful of people that do not help us. But notice he said, "my helpers." In Romans 16:6, Paul said, "Greet Mary who bestowed much labor on us." In Romans 16:9, Paul said, "Salute Urbane, our helper, and Staticus." Paul is writing in the Bible, but every time you turn around, he's saying, "Oh, by the way, tell old Joe I said hi and thanks. And tell Sue, by the way, Sue helped me that day, and I am so grateful." Paul was thoughtful concerning his helpers. Folks, everybody needs to remember this. There's no such thing as self-made person. We all invest in one another, and others invest in us, and we need to be thoughtful, in this case, to those people who help us. Expressing gratitude in words and other forms, in notes, in gifts, that pray for people, brag on people, thank people. Those people that help you, I'll tell you, here's a little reminder. If somebody helps you this week and you're thoughtful and grateful for that help, they may help you again next week if you need it. But I wonder sometimes if we don't get help and then we're not grateful and then we wonder why we can't get help the next time. But be thoughtful of the people that help you. I would even recommend when we're out in the community, I realize that when you're at the grocery store, that stock boy that's working there, I realize he gets paid for doing what he does. But you know, if you ask him to help you and he left his duty and he took you back to where the item you were looking for can be found and he helped you to find it, you know what you ought to do? You ought to be thoughtful. You ought to say, "Thank you very much. I appreciate your help." You say, "Well, they get paid to do it." I realize that, but you're supposed to be a good Christian. You're to be a good Christian. So, Paul, the busiest, spiritually, the busiest man on the face of the earth, says, I'm sending out a greeting to the people that helped me. Secondly, Paul was thoughtful of the church. His thoughts were full regarding the church. In Romans chapter 16, verse 5, Paul said, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." What had happened is a new church had begun, and they didn't have a building yet. They were meeting in a house, but Paul knew that that church had begun, and he said, "Hey, tell everybody down there at church I said howdy. Tell everybody I said hi." Now here, and this isn't a great big church that's running 5,000 people. This is a little startup church. And here's the great Apostle Paul, the powerhouse of fundamentalism in his day. I mean, if there had been a newspaper in that day, Paul was the one that launched it. If there was a conference in that day, Paul was the one that was hosting that conference. But here is the great and powerful Paul saying to a little group of people that just got started in a little house, a church. He said, "Hey, let those people know I'm thinking about them." That means an awful lot to a group of 8 to 10 people that just started a church in a house because they didn't have a building, to have the greatest evangelist on the face of the earth say, I'm thinking about you. Folks, we ought to be thoughtful of our church. I think the people that you and I take for granted the most are probably our immediate families. But let me say, the people we take for granted the second most is our church family. Our church family. Sit down sometime and fill your mind with good thoughts about people in your church family. Sometime, just sit and think about Brother Robert Acker, who faithfully has stood at that back door for years and years and years greeting people. Just stop and think. Probably drives the second furthest distance of anybody in this church to get to church. He's always here. And if he's not here, everybody's going, whoa, where's Brother Robert? Where's Brother Robert? Man, he's 115 years old. But I'd be ashamed if a man his age can be faithful to church and you at your age cannot be. And he's always in his place. You know, it doesn't take me long to start thinking about Brother Robert. And I just think, what a good man. What a good man. And you know something, and nobody's ever done this, Brother Robert, but if you came up to me to criticize Brother Robert to me, I'd shut you down so fast you say, how could you do that? I got so many good thoughts in my mind about him. I don't need you to add your one little dainty, silly criticism of a man that I could give you 100 good thoughts about. Well, what is that? That's being thoughtful. Thoughtful. The ushers. Think about the ushers. Think about those that clean the building. Think about those that teach Sunday school. Think about those that help to maintain the buildings and the choir. We enjoy the good music. But stop and think about it for a little while. And I don't mean just think about them standing on the platform and, if you will, presenting or performing. Think about the fact that they're in here on Saturdays and Thursdays and they're at the piano practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And you think about the choir and choir practice after choir practice after choir practice after choir practice, putting up with Brother Edwards. Think about what they're going through. Think about the youth workers and the bus workers and the groundskeepers. Everything that's done here for our enjoyment and our service to God is done by dozens of volunteers, and it just wouldn't hurt if every once in a while we would be thoughtful of those people. Paul was thoughtful of his own family. In Romans chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen." Now, the word kinsmen, I spent 12 years in West Virginia. In West Virginia, you have kin. Y'all understand kin? Remember, kinfolk. Now, that's what that word means. Kinsmen. These are my people. This is blood. This is family. Evidently, the Apostle Paul had some family that would have read the book of Romans, probably whatever church it was that Paul was writing to, he had relatives. Now, folks, if you read verse 11, he talks about more of his kinsmen. In verse 12, he speaks of Lucas, Jason, and a couple more of his kinsmen. Paul was thoughtful of his relatives. I think this, young people, let me tell you something. You say, I'm a little put out with my mom or my dad right now. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to sit down and think through what your mom and dad do for you. Sit down and think through what mom and dad have done for you and how they've loved you and met your needs. And if you would fill your mind with right thoughts about people, you'll help people and you'll help yourself. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. That does not exist. Their parents and young people, you have to understand, mom and dad, they don't claim to be perfect. They claim to love you. They're doing the very best they know how. And they're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you. But I believe that every child ought to take some time and just sit down and fill their thoughts with goodness about their parents. We're talking about kinsmen. You men, I'll tell you something that'll help your marriage. Clear a little time every once in a while and just think about all the good things about your wife. If she's a good cook, think about it. Boy, if she takes good care of the house, think about it. She's a good kisser, think about it. She's a good kisser, think about it some more. You know, there are so many things that she does for you. But you know what we'll do? We'll find that one thing that's not going right, and we think about it and think about it and think about it and think about it. You ought to be thoughtful of the good things regarding your spouse. So, ladies, think about those good things about your husband, and think about those good things about your wife. Men, parents, think about the good things. And listen, parents, I realize that we must discipline, we must chasten, we're going to have to correct our children. But can I tell you something? A little praise goes a long, long way. I mean, when the grade card comes home, if there's a D or a bad grade, sure, we're going to say, let's work on that. Let's bring that up. But can I tell you something? Do you praise them for all the A's? Do you praise them for the B's? Do you praise them for the better grades? Say, well, my child got a demerit. Let me tell you something. Had you been in school, you would have had more than one demerit. They just didn't happen to give demerits out while you were in school. And most of you, your children are angels compared to what you were when you were their age. Say amen, somebody. But what I'm telling you is we ought to be thoughtful of our kinsmen. And I want to recommend to everybody here, if there is anybody that we ought to take a little bit of time and fill our minds with good thoughts and be expressive to these people, it's to grandmas and grandpas. Hey, if your grandparents are still alive, you ought to just sit down sometime and think about them and thank God for them. Fill your mind with all those good things. And parents, teach your children the importance of treating grandma and grandpa right. I'm going to send this CD to my kids, and so they make sure they tell the grandkids to take care of grandma and grandpa. But the Apostle Paul, the busiest man on the face of the earth, throughout his writing, he was given guidance to the New Testament church. He was writing the official word of God. But every time you turn around in the scripture, he's saying, hey, by the way, I remember this guy. And by the way, I remember that lady. And by the way, those people helped me. And by the way, wasn't it great what we did together? He was thoughtful. He was thoughtful of people. Sometimes we get so busy with things, we miss what life's really all about. Life's not all about things. It's all about people. Life's not all about things. It's all about God. Hey, you want to become spiritual? Become thoughtful of God. Fill your mind with God. And I'll promise you this. If you'll fill your mind with God, then you'll be thinking right about people. Next, Paul was thoughtful of the aged people. The aged people. Let me show you. Romans 16, verse 13, it says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, this is a group of people that are older. The Apostle Paul, probably when he was writing here, was probably in his 60s. That means if this was his mother, there's a chance that he's mentioning people that are 80, 85 years of age. You say, what is aged? I don't know. I know this. Me and a buddy of mine named Dave Rook, we used to play basketball together. His dad used to come out and play basketball with us. And so, David and I were 16. His dad was about 36. I used to think, it's old when you're 36. But 36 is not old anymore. You say, preacher, what's old? 90? 100? But here's what I think we can learn from it. Be thoughtful of anybody who has a few years on you. Are you thoughtful of older people? Let everybody in this building know, my personal opinion is, those that are senior citizens in our church, we ought to cater to them. We ought to try to meet their needs. They ought not have to fight to get a parking spot. They ought not have to fight to find a seat. When they're coming through the hallways, young people, when senior citizens are walking through these hallways, you don't run. You be careful that you don't knock them down. You don't rush to get in front of them at the water fountain. We attend to them. Hey, when we're having a fellowship and the senior citizens are in there, let's make sure that we help them to get their food if that's what they need and they have a good place to sit. Somebody just watch to see if their coffee cup is full. And if it's not, find out if they want cream and sugar and go serve them. And senior citizen, not because we think you're old and that you can't, but you know something, you deserve some honor, you've paid some dues, and you ought to be treated right, and that's what the Bible teaches. But Paul took the time to say, you know those people that are older than us? I salute them. It says salute Rufus. And Rufus is not Andronicus's dog. Rufus is a human being here. Salute. You know what that means? Treat them as royalty. When we have guests that are senior citizens and they come in here, treat them like royalty. Treat them like royalty. Now, number five, Paul was thoughtful of anybody that was his host. Listen to this. Romans 16:23, it says, gave us mine host. Someone had hosted the Apostle Paul, and he remembered it. Said somebody had had him over to their house to eat. Somebody, maybe while he was in town, he spent the night in someone's home. But he was very thoughtful of that. And a host is anyone, that's where we get the word hostess, that's anyone that serves us. Folks, just remember, as people serve you, be good to them. As people serve you around the church, be good to them. Now, I'm thinking, moms, and I don't think we have any mothers that are rude to the nursery workers. But let me tell you something. What a blessing to have nursery workers that miss church services to tend to the babies so that moms can come in here and have a little break. Makes it so we have a better service. So they're not crying babies in the church service. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt every once in a while if when we go to pick up our child from either children's church or the nursery, to stop and say, I really want to thank you. Thank you so much for attending to my children and loving my children and keeping them safe back here in the nursery. Paul was thoughtful of anybody that serve them. And again, parents, a child-rearing necessity. I think we ought to be teaching our children to be thoughtful of those that help them, that attend to them. Let me tell you, if you have children and they have babysitters, you ought to be teaching your children to obey that babysitter and to treat them with dignity. And around the church, I think of, I'll just use King's Kids or the Flyers Club. People, I don't think some people know the energy that the Crawfords and the Steeds put into those clubs. Their money, their time, their life. And I don't think any of the kids are rude, but I'll tell you, the kids ought to know that those people are sacrificing to give your child a good program, and a child ought to be taught to be thoughtful, full of good thought about somebody that's serving them. Let me move on here. Paul was thoughtful about city officials. Romans chapter 16, verse 38, it says, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, he mentions here someone that is a chamberlain of the city. I believe Paul was probably a relatively good a good citizen. Now, I think if they came to Paul and said, Paul, you got to give up your Bible and stop talking about Jesus, I think he would have obeyed God. But I do believe that Paul was careful to try to be a good citizen. But he learned to treat the people in leadership in the city properly. In a way, it really doesn't matter to me what you think, but I don't think police officers ought to be called pigs. No, police officers are not to be treated that way. They ought to be treated with dignity. They ought to be treated with respect. And if you've just had a wild life and you've got it against all police officers, you're wrong. You're wrong. I don't think every police officer is, you know, the second coming of Mary Magdalene, but I will tell you this. They have a tough job. It's a dangerous job. It's not an easy job. And I believe there's a certain amount of respect. I believe firemen ought to be treated with dignity. I think those that hold positions in our community, I think our church ought to treat them with dignity. I'll be real honest. I cannot wait. I want to have a day when we invite all the police officers in the county to come visit our church. We'll have a Sunday. We'll honor them, do something for them. Another time, we'll do the firemen. Another time, we'll do the healthcare professionals. Another time, we'll do all the drug addicts. But I believe this. I believe. And you know, you'll remember, and it happens here just like on Trent Road. On Trent Road, police officers would often park in our parking lot down there at the church. They'd pull over there, and they might be doing paperwork, dunking a donut or two there. And I'd go out when I was down at the church. I'd go out and talk to them for a second. And I'd go out, and they'd say, oh, Pastor, did you want me to move? I said, oh, no, sir. No, sir. You park here any time you want. I remember one time I went out and it was a cold day. I went out and I said, "Hey, I've got hot coffee in the church. I've been working in there. Can I get you a cup of coffee?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "I've got to go, but thank you, Pastor." Well, we moved out here to the new property, and I came out one day and there sat a police officer sitting right here in the parking lot. I pulled in. I started to walk over toward the car, and he started to put his stuff away, and he said, "I'm just getting ready to move." I said, No, take your time. You pull in here and you park here any time. You're welcome here. If you need something and I'm here, just come in the building. I'd be glad to help you. I do not think that every official in government is someone that is the most honest or the most moral, but I can tell you this, I'm always supposed to treat people right. And Paul took the time to be thoughtful of people in that type of a position. Paul was thoughtful of preachers. Listen to Colossians 4:7, again written by Paul. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister." Be thoughtful of men of God. Be thoughtful. And Paul took the time to be good to some man of God. I'll tell you a story. I'll not tell you who or what, and I really don't want you to figure it out. But a preacher called me, and I don't think a preacher of like faith, but he called me, and he had heard our Riversong singers, some of their music. He called me, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "boy, you got a group of girls down there at your church that can sing up a storm." He said, "They are powerful." And I said, "They sure are." He said, "I want them to come out to my church and sing." And then he told me the name of his church, and I knew right away, well, they're not going to be all come to your church and sing because we don't believe the same way. But he said, "I would like that." I said, "Sir, they won't be able to do that." I said, "But tell you what I'm going to do." I said, "How many people come to your church?" And he told me. I said, "I don't have a CD of that particular group, but I have a CD of a group just like that that sings all a cappella." I said, "I'm going to send you enough of those for everybody in your church to have that kind of music, and you could give it to them. We can't come to your church, but I'll send you some good music for the people in your church." He said, "Well, how much would that cost?" I said, "Oh, no, it's free to you. It's free to you." He said, "Well, thank you, Pastor Owens." I said, "That is no problem whatsoever. Glad to help you." You know, I think, and so you know, that man, I wouldn't preach his church. He wouldn't preach at my church. We don't believe the same way. But I can be good to him. I can be good to him. And there are some things about which I will put my dukes up and fight in a flash. But I am not trying to destroy people. And I think there is a goodness. The Apostle Paul was full of thought about certain things. Hey, Paul was thoughtful to those who have been saved from wicked lives. Do you know that in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 9, he goes into a process to talk about a man by the name of Onesimus? How many of you remember Onesimus? We talked about him in a Sunday school class. Onesimus had been put in jail for robbery. And you know the Apostle Paul? Onesimus got saved, and the Apostle Paul started writing a letter to another preacher and said, "Hey, I got this guy that got saved, and he's a good guy, and I'm going to help." You know, Paul even said, "If this guy's ever, I think this guy owes you a few bucks." Paul said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay that debt for him because I would like for him to get into your church because I think he could help you and you could help him." Thank God. And Paul was the busiest man on the face of the earth, but he had time to speak up, to fill his mind with good thoughts about somebody that had been in jail, somebody that had a bad reputation in the past. But Paul said, "I'm going to fill my mind with the right thoughts about that person." Paul was thoughtful. His mind was full of good thoughts. I have to mention this because I found it in the Bible. In Colossians 4:14, Paul mentions Luke, his physician. And he was very thoughtful. You know, there are professionals that you and I do business with. Paul, who was in his own right, he was a professional, if you will. He would have been equivalent to a CEO. He had a spiritual doctor's degree. But now he talks about a physician. What's he doing? Again, he's thoughtful about the people that serve him. I want to recommend something to you. Folks, you and I, we're not upper crust, and we're not the most successful people in the world, but we will make contact with successful people. And I think by being thoughtful and by being kind toward them, we may stand the chance of winning someone like a Luke and getting someone like that in our church. You and I, we're common folks. And there are people here that have a little more education than others, but let me tell you, if we'll treat people right, did you know that you say, well, preacher, I'm not educated and I don't have a lot of money, but when you go see your doctor, if you're kind and you have the right attitude while you're in there, you'd be shocked at the influence you could have with somebody like that. I mean, you could have influence with business owners and doctors and lawyers and people that managers. Why? Because you're thoughtful. The other day, I was in a local business and everybody was scurrying around. And a guy came in and you could tell everybody knew who he was. And he had a primary parking spot out front. And he was walking right in to go to the office and he stopped. And he said, sir, are they helping you? And I said, yes, sir, I don't know who the boss is around here, but these folks are on the ball, and he's got this thing going well. He was in a hurry, and then he stopped. He said, well, I run this place. Now, in the back of my mind, I said, no. I said, well, I appreciate it. They've been very helpful. It looks like you got things going well around here. He said, what can I help you with? I said, well, you're busy. I said, You just go ahead. I understand being busy. And one of these folks, he said, no, I want to help you. And so he helped me. I started a relationship. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next month. But someday he'll be sitting out here in this congregation. I just feel like that's going to happen. All I did was get to thinking about how busy the man was, looked around his business. I seen some success there. I complimented him about it. And he just gobbled that right up. You just don't know what thoughtfulness will do for you. I think Paul was even thoughtful in regard to those that had forsaken him. You know, in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 14, there's a man by the name of Demas. And the Bible says, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But Paul took the time, and you find that Paul wanted to help a Demas. Demas had forsaken Paul. Let me tell you all. There are people that will get backslidden. There are people that will get a little contrary, though we hardly ever experience it. There will be people that will leave our church. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Let's be thoughtful. Let's be thoughtful. Let me make you a promise. You ever get mad and you leave this church, I won't kick you in the teeth on your way out. At least I don't think I will. I don't know that I've ever done that to anybody in all these years. I want to be thoughtful. Sometimes when people are contrary, you see a little piece of their life. A little piece of their life that is negative does not erase the ton of good that is in their life. And that incident, that moment of negativity does not mean they're all bad. Hey, and you're not all bad when you're experiencing some of that. Even people who had forsaken Paul said, by the way, I still love old so-and-so, and I still care about old so-and-so. What's the whole thought of the sermon? The Apostle Paul, the busiest preacher, the busiest spiritual person on the face of the earth at that time, and you can't but read a few verses and you find him mentioning another human being about whom he is thinking, and he's thinking well of them. Don't get so busy with things that you miss the primary purpose of life. It's God and people. Let's be helpful to people by being thoughtful. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are some husbands that need to put a little more thought into the positives about your wife, and some wives a little more thought into the positives about your husbands. Some parents about children. Some friends in the church. There's some bosses here. You need to have a little more positive thinking about a few employees. And there's some employees here that ought to think a little more positively about your bosses. Get your thoughts full of the goodness and the proper qualities of other people. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I think I could work on that. I think there's something in there that I could work on a little more about this thoughtfulness in regard to people. And you would raise your hand. Yeah, lots of hands up. Almost every hand in the house. We'll have a time of altar call. If you need the altar, you come. Hey, if you died today and you're not born again, come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you thoughtful? You thoughtful of the police officer? Are you thoughtful of the boss? Thoughtful of the person that attended to you at the grocery store? Let my mind be full of good thought. Fill my mind up with good thought about people. Thought full, not thought empty, thought full. Tell you how to keep a good attitude towards your child, Sunday school teacher. Sit down and think through what they do to be a Sunday school teacher. They get snacks, they prepare a lesson, they pray, they live up to a high standard and expectation that their pastor puts on them, because you can't teach Sunday school around here unless you follow the standards and you live right. Just think of all that that Sunday school teacher puts into it. Thoughtful. Be thoughtful of the nursery workers. Be thoughtful of the greeters. Be thoughtful of those that maintain the cleanliness of the inside of our buildings. Be thoughtful of that Sunday school teacher. Be thoughtful of the children's church worker, the choir director, the children's program worker. Be thoughtful. Ushers, if you'll make sure you have those prayer sheets ready, we'll get them distributed very quickly.